Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council chambers. We're very glad that you're here. Today is Thursday, September 15th, 2011, 2 p.m. I'll seek guidance. Do we go ahead and take the roll before we consider the postponement? Or is that?
Yeah. Yes, okay. We should call roll and have Carla read the item.
Hi, Carla. Would you please call the roll?
Yes. Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz? Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We will proceed. There's one item on the City Council calendar today. Carla, can you please read the title?
Item 976, Appeal of Buckman Community Association against Hearing Officer's Decision to Approve with Conditions the Application of Central Catholic High School for a Conditional Use Master Plan with Adjustments to Expand and Renovate their Existing Facility at 2401 Southeast Stark Street, LU11115222, CUMSAD.
And my understanding is that a request has been made in writing to the hearings officer, which is part of the auditor's office, to postpone today's hearing?
That's correct. The Buckman Neighborhood Association has submitted a written request to postpone today's hearing to a date uncertain. They contend that they won't have a number of people here that they wish to have speak in favor of the appeal. Central Catholic High School, the applicant, has submitted a letter opposing the request and indicating that they would be prejudiced by not going forward because they may not be able to schedule all of their witnesses to be here, and indicating that there was some agreement on the hearing date reached more than a month in advance of the hearing. At this point, it really is at the council's discretion whether or not to grant the postponement. You may simply discuss among yourselves and make a decision by motion. If you wish to hear from the parties, you may do that. That's entirely at your discretion.
We have a complex task here, scheduling the people's work for consideration before the City Council. And given that the date was agreed upon a month ago and we have a whole bunch of other work stacked up, assuming today's hearing goes forward, I, as a rule, as one person of the council, generally do not favor postponements. So unless anyone else, and it's no bias for your request in particular, this is a general approach to the and you raising your hand, who are you?
I'm representing the Buckman Community Association. My name is Linda Gerber, and I...
She should come up.
Why don't you come up, and who represents the other side? Would you please come forward?
The association is willing to waive our request.
You're willing to waive your request?
Yes.
Okay, very good. The request has been waived. That's as fast a resolution of a dispute of this as...
We try to please.
All right, so.
Mayor Adams, members of the council and audience, there are several announcements I'm required by state law to make before the hearing begins. First, one is to remind you of the kind of hearing we're having today. The second is to identify the order of testimony. And third is some guidelines for presenting testimony. First, today's hearing is an evidentiary hearing, which means that you may submit new evidence to the City Council in support of your arguments. In terms of the order of procedure, we'll begin with a staff report by Douglas Hardy at the Bureau of Development Services for approximately 10 to 15 minutes. Following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The appellant will go first and will have 10 minutes to present the appellant's case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak to the City Council. The applicant will then have 15 minutes to address the City Council and rebut the appellant's presentation. After the applicant, the council will hear from persons who oppose the appeal and support the applicant. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. And finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes to rebut the presentation of the opponents of the appeal. The council may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a vote on the appeal. If the vote is a tentative vote, the council will set a future date for the adoption of findings and a final vote on the appeal. If the council takes a final vote today, that will conclude the matter before the City Council. Several guidelines for presenting testimony to the council today are as follows. Any letters or documents you wish to become part of the record should be given to the council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or a copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to the council during your testimony, including PowerPoint presentations, should be given to the council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. Any testimony, arguments, and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of the staff report to the council. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you don't, you'll be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Additionally, if the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow the council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court to challenge the condition of approval. That concludes the opening statements I need to make.
Thank you. Do any members of the council wish to declare a conflict of interest regarding the matter before us?
Mayor Adams, I've not spoken to any of the parties, and as is our normal practice, any communication on this issue has been handled by staff and is part of my briefing book today.
All right. Is there, hearing no others, is there any member of council that has had ex parte contacts to declare or information gathered outside of this hearing other than the explanation provided by Commissioner Fish? All right. No members of council have ex parte contacts to declare. Do council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin this hearing? I would just remind folks under city code, if you are a lobbyist authorized to speak on behalf of a business organization, then you need to declare that as you introduce yourself. Otherwise, it is your name, and you have 3 minutes for your testimony, unless otherwise noted, and there's a clock on the front of that big chunk of wood that'll help you count down from 3 minutes. So we will begin with staff report.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, council members. My name is Douglas Hardy. I'm with the Bureau of Development Services, Land Use Services. And I'm here today to present the the hearings officer's decision on the Central Catholic High School proposal and the appeal of that decision. The applicant, Central Catholic High School, is requesting approval of a 10-year conditional use master plan. The school has been operating at the site for over 70 years. As part of the requested master plan, the applicant proposes to increase the floor area of the existing facility by approximately 40,000 square feet. The new floor area will be located in second-story additions, as well as in a 2-to-3-story wing that's located internal to the campus. The new floor area is not intended to accommodate an increased number of students beyond the current 800 to 850 enrollment level. Instead, the floor area allows the school to provide more specialized space, basically for the existing student body. And the applicant indicates that the proposal will result in an increase of only one new classroom. The proposal also includes expanding the campus boundary by approximately 9,600 square feet west of Southeast 24th to accommodate a new 15-space parking lot, and I'll have a site plan of that later in our presentation. And also, as part of this request, the applicant is proposing several improvements to the public right-of-way. This includes the widening of Southeast 24th Avenue that runs along one side of the school. As part of this review, Central Catholic is requesting several exceptions to the applicable development standards that apply to the campus. Specifically, the applicant requests increasing the maximum allowed floor area ratio that would, in this case, represent an allowed floor area increase of approximately 29,000 square feet over what code would allow. The applicant requests decreasing the minimum building setback along portions of Southeast 24th and Southeast Stark. Along Southeast 24th, the reduced building setback is primarily the result of widening the street and not the result of new buildings coming closer to the street. The applicant also requests to reduce the landscape buffer along Southeast 24th Avenue. And again, this is primarily the result of widening the street along 24th and not a new building displacing landscaping. And lastly, the applicant requests reducing the minimum amount of landscaping on the entire site by 1.5%. The site indicated here in the gray hatch area is located in an R5, that's a single dwelling zone. Institutions such as schools are allowed to locate in the R5 zone only if approved as a conditional use. And Central Catholic was most recently approved to operate at the site as a conditional use in 2002. So basically the site is what's referred to as the main campus and then the two lots on the east side of Southeast 24th. As seen here, the surrounding area is also predominantly zoned single dwelling. Both the R5 and R25 are single dwelling zones. The only exception is to the south across Stark, OS or open space zone, which is developed by the Lone Fir Cemetery. In terms of the site, the site is slightly over 2 acres, identified here within the red line. It's located at the northeast corner of Southeast Stark and Southeast 24th. The existing building is basically an L-shaped building that fronts along Southeast 24th and Southeast Stark. There's an unlit athletic field in the northeast corner of the site. The site currently has 17 spaces on site for parking that are basically located behind the building in this area and also in the southeast corner. As indicated, Central Catholic is proposing to expand their current boundaries to incorporate the two vacant lots on the west side of Southeast 24th for use as a parking lot. The parking lot is will be limited to 15 spaces. They will be reserved for carpool-only spaces with cars basically accommodating 3 people. So essentially accommodating up to 45 students. During after-school hours, that parking lot will be used for the loading and unloading of students. And third, for special events, that parking lot would be used for what we call stacked parking, where you have an attendant move cars. And for that stacked parking, it would accommodate 35 vehicles. The parking lot will contain perimeter and interior landscaping. And with this new lot, the school would have a total of 19 off-street parking spaces. And also visible in this photo is basically the surrounding development pattern as seen here. In those surrounding areas, it's predominantly built with single dwelling developments with the Lone Fir Cemetery to the south. In terms of the proposed additions to the building, this is a perspective view of that floor area highlighted in sort of the blue color here. The new second story, as you see here, will be stepped back from the existing building wall that extends along, again, 24th and Stark. This part of the building will exceed the minimum building setback as required by code. And even with the second-story addition, the building will be approximately 10 feet less than the code allows. The largest of the additions that are proposed is internal to the campus, and it's set back roughly 370 feet from the nearest residence. Next, for a quick tour of the site and vicinity, this is a view of the school's main entrance located at the corner of Southeast Stark and 24th. As seen here, the building extends eastward along Southeast Stark and is heavily screened by existing street trees along that frontage. This is the area where some of the second-story additions are being proposed along this portion of the facade and in this area. This is a view of the building looking north on Southeast 24th. This is the west facade of the building. The second-story addition is also proposed along this facade. Even with the street widening along Southeast 24th, this portion of the facade would be set back more than 20 feet from the new street lot line with that setback area landscaped. It's really only the northernmost portion of the building that would be reduced down to 6 foot, 6 inches with that street widening, but that remaining 6 foot area will be also landscaped. This is a view of the existing vacant lots west of Southeast 24th and Stark that will be converted into the 15-space parking lot. As indicated, as seen here, it's basically a grass lot. There's really no landscaping on that lot today. The abutting two residences to this parking, or to this proposed parking lot, are also owned by the school, and there is no proposal for the school to use those abutting houses as part of the master plan. And traveling around the perimeter of the campus, this is a view looking east on Southeast Pine along the school's north boundary. An issue that was expressed by the neighbors both prior to the hearings officer hearing and at the hearings officer hearing was the idling of buses related to the school along this street, that they would block traffic, and with the idling, it would create exhaust fumes that were of annoyance to the neighborhood. And I'll speak to that a little later as well. And then in terms of the surrounding area, for the most part, it is characterized again by 1 to 2 story single dwelling residences. This is a view along Southeast Oak, immediately east of the school. And this is a sign seen along Southeast Oak, just west of the school, that notices that no event parking is allowed on the street. As part of the 1985 and 2002 conditional use reviews for Central Catholic, there were two separate parking and traffic management plans that were intended to regulate where on-street parking may occur and how traffic and parking associated with special events would be addressed. These two plans were required as conditions of approval as part of the previous land use reviews for the campus. And the applicant proposes, as part of the current review, to supplement these plans with elements included in what is termed the 2011 traffic and parking mitigation measures. Just quickly, this is a view of Southeast 26, where the applicant has proposed to put in diagonal parking along the edge of the cemetery here. In terms of the approval criteria, they're found in 33.815.105 of the zoning code. And the approval criteria address 5 topic areas. The first deals with the proportion of household living, of non-household living uses in the area, and also considers the intensity of the use. The second approval criterion deals with physical compatibility and ensuring that the scale and design of the proposal is in keeping with the surrounding neighborhood. Regarding livability, this criterion requires the applicant to demonstrate the proposal will not have significant adverse impacts on factors like noise, odors, late-night operations. And as detailed in the hearings officer's report, with conditions of approval, the proposal was found to meet those approval criteria. The next set of approval criteria deal with the adequacy of public services, including the impact on the transportation network, and ensuring that that network is capable of serving the proposed use. And the last approval criteria requires addressing the consistency of the proposal with adopted area plans This site is located within the Buckman neighborhood plan area. And again, as detailed in the hearings officer's report, with conditions, those approval criteria were deemed to be met. And regarding the request to the exceptions to the institutional development standards, the six approval criteria, there are six approval criteria that must be met, and they primarily focus on ensuring that the proposal still equally meets the intent of the regulation that's being modified and that there are no adverse impacts on appearance or livability. And the hearings officer found that the proposal did meet those criterion. So the hearings officer did approve both the 10-year conditional use master plan as well as the four exceptions to the development standards. There were about a dozen conditions of approval associated with the hearings officer's decision. In brief summary, these include implementation of the 1985, the 2002, and the 2011 traffic and parking mitigation plans. They included applying for public works permits for the widening of 24th, the construction of curb extensions on Stark, and the widening of the sidewalk and angled parking on 26th. Other conditions included constructing the 15-space parking lot prior to the loss of any parking on the main campus and requiring that loading and unloading of buses occur in that new parking lot. And the hearings officer's decision was appealed by the Buckman Community Association. In summary, the stated grounds for the appeal are that the hearings officer decision did not specify how violations of the conditions of approval are to be addressed. And BDS staff notes that all conditions of approval are enforceable by the Bureau of Development Services Compliance Services. And any violations of the conditions can be either phoned in or, in fact, emailed into Compliance Services, and Compliance Services will then investigate the circumstance. Secondly, the appellant raised issues with how the new parking lot, in combination with the increased height and reduced setback for buildings along 24th, would adversely impact the area's residential character. And third, the applicant raised issues with how the use of the proposed 15-space parking lot would adversely impact factors of livability, specifically related to noise, litter, and light glare. And that concludes staff's presentation. I'd be happy to respond to questions now or later.
Initial questions from council?
Is the parking lot going to be lighted, have overhead lights? Don't know.
There were no specific indications in the approval that it would be lighted. In the case that it is lighted, there are what are called off-site impact standards in the zoning code that specifically address light glare. So any lighting in that parking lot would have to meet those off-site impact standards.
And then how wide is, or how much widening of Southeast 24th is proposed?
If I remember correctly, the roadway itself is being widened 4 feet, and the intent for that widening is not necessarily to accommodate more parking. It's really to facilitate the movement of vehicles, you know, two-lane vehicles passing along that street.
And then finally, the bus parking on Southeast Pine, that's currently the situation, right? Buses.
We've heard from the neighbors, particularly along Southeast Pine, that is where buses have been basically double parking, idling, related to the school, and that's the current circumstance.
Nothing to do with the parking lot per se, or just that's the way it is right now.
That's the current circumstance. Under the proposal, it is to relocate that bus loading area to the new parking area.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, we will now hear from the appellant. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Linda Gerber, 2221 Southeast Oak Street, a neighbor in the neighborhood since 1984. Mayor Adams and commissioners, thank you for the opportunity for the Buckman Community Association to express our opposition to really two elements of the conditional use master plan. I represent the BCA and I'm a board member. From the 1950s through the 1970s, Buckman was a neighborhood in decline. In that period, owner-occupied structures declined by 65%. But now it is a thriving neighborhood where people desire to live. In large part, this is due to the vision and commitment of past city leaders in your position on City Council, who made tough policy and operational decisions to protect the residential nature of Buckman. The most significant of those decisions was to rezone it, prohibiting the building of apartments, commercial structures, and parking lots. The BCA has been a longtime partner with the city in this effort to revive Buckman and has a long history of working to protect the residentially zoned lots in our neighborhood. BCA and neighbors who oppose the master plan are supportive of the school's educational mission. However, we have found the school determined not to compromise on the one issue that is most important to the community. That is the conversion of two R5 residentially zoned lots into a paved parking lot. The BCA has steadfastly opposed this conversion since the idea was first forwarded in 1977. In the past, Central Catholic has been unsuccessful in its effort to convert these lots. It did, however, purchase the lots. And despite having not received a city approval to build a parking lot, demolished the duplex and the house that stood on them. It's relevant to note that in addition to these two residential lots, the school has purchased three other houses within a block of the school, which they now rent out. In the version of the conditional use master plan that the City Planning Bureau posted on its website prior to the June 6th hearing, the school's vision for these three additional properties was made clear for the first time to neighbors. In that online document, buried deep in the text, was the plan to review for possible future uses, converting those properties to offices for school administrative use. Well, neither the architects nor school officials had revealed this vision during our year-long negotiations, so we were totally surprised and dismayed to find it in the planning document. But we hurriedly prepared to also address and oppose this new element in the school's plan at the hearing. And we were again surprised when we arrived at the hearing and found the paper copy of the plan distributed at the hearing was different from the one posted online. In this new paper copy, the conversion of the three rental lots had been removed. So why is this important to the parking lot question? First, the change of documents represents what we think was an unintentional but still serious flaw in the hearing process. We weren't notified of the plan. Neighbors had submitted comments to the planning officer and should have expected or could have expected that we would have been told of these changes in the planning document, but the planning office, responsible for the integrity of the process, failed to ensure that the planning document posted on the Bureau website was the same document presented at the hearing. Second, the school's architects have sent two letters to Susan Lindsay, the BCA chair, making misleading and erroneous statements about agreements that they purport either the BCA or the immediate neighbors of Central Catholic High School, which is the subgroup negotiating on this issue, had actually made. So this unexpected appearance and then disappearance of information about the three lots made us think, kind of heightened our belief that the school wasn't negotiating in good faith. This lack of transparency leads the neighbors to believe that the school's long-term vision is indeed to pursue incremental expansion into the residential areas of our neighborhood. We believe the parking lot is but one development in this process. So the BCA believes the hearing officer's decision to approve the master plan was flawed in process and in the decision. In the decision, we believe livability issues did not receive the weight they deserved. We ask you, our city council members, to overturn the decision and require Central Catholic to adjust its plan in the following ways prior to approval. First, require the school to drop or at least delay its plan to build an unneeded parking lot on residentially zoned property. Second, require that the plan include the method by which neighbors can report and have enforced noncompliance with the conditions of approval. And this response really is in this request, number two, is in response to an ongoing failure of the school to fully implement its current traffic management plan. So why do we oppose the parking lot? The city has found in the past, and it continues to be true today, that a parking lot built on a block surrounded by single-family dwellings conflicts with the residential nature of that block and violates the zoning regulation in place to maintain it. Any reasonable person would agree that a 10,000-square-foot parking lot developed at the end of one of Portland's small historic east side blocks creates a significant livability impact. It reduces property value, it creates an ongoing nuisance, and it will attract more cars to the already congested 24th Street and Oak Streets. In addition, it takes out of the housing stock land that could be used to address Portland's density issues. A parking lot is not good for the neighborhood, and it's not good for the environment. After 25 years of saying no, Portland is about to say yes to a lot, to a parking lot, at the very time we proudly proclaim we are one of the most sustainable cities in the country. The school's plan for a parking lot prioritizes cars over the neighborhood single-family homes. Why do we request a reporting mechanism for conditional use violations? Well, for over 30 years, BCA has worked with the school to establish a balance between the school's objectives and the livability objectives of the neighborhood. We have a parking and management plan with them, and when it was fully implemented by the school, the plan adequately managed traffic and parking, and the neighbors were quite satisfied. But the school has a history of not adhering to conditional use traffic management agreements, and we know those agreements have now been folded into the new conditional use master plan. The school's traffic experts found that there is adequate parking available in the neighborhood, and we agree there is parking available, but it's not managed according to plan. So the school has a management problem, not a parking problem. In conclusion, the livability of the Buckman community will be negatively impacted by this parking lot. There are many other better uses for the two now vacant lots. For example, they could serve as a small park for the school or a learning garden for the students. Or they could be sold and used in a way consistent with the R5 zoning to add housing stock to the community. The school has many options for using the lots that the neighbors would not oppose. The Buckman Community Association asks you to intervene to require Central Catholic to work in good faith with the Buckman community to address the significant livability issue their master plan's parking lot will create, and to ensure that the school adheres to the traffic management plan in the conditional use permit. We ask you, our councilman, to walk the courageous path your predecessors on City Council walked and protect the residentially zoned lots of Buckman community. Thank you.
And you ended right on time. I'm so impressed.
Thank you.
All right, we will now hear from supporters of the appellant. How many people have signed up?
We have 15 people signed up.
We have found that what can be said in a very, very compelling way in 3 minutes can usually be said in an even more effective way in 2 minutes. So we'd like to, we'll set the clock for two. If you prepared for three and you need three, we'll give you three. We'll call four people at a time.
First four, please come on up, are Chris Marston, Charlie Christensen, and Anisa Drazil, and Larry Walters. And they'll be followed by Chris Soden, Sandy Sampson, Carmen Brannon, and Olivia Sophia Walters.
Hi, welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Would you like to begin? Or are you Chris in a particular like order? Chris, would you like
I'll
to
start,
begin?
Yeah. Hi, my name's Chris Marston, and I live at 2315 Southeast Oak Street. I've been living there for 16 years. We expect that those presenting on behalf of Central Catholic will characterize the neighbors who have worked in good faith to come to reasonable agreement on this issue as inflexible, cantankerous cranks. That is not accurate. We are citizens who have invested our lives and our savings into this neighborhood, which we are dedicated to preserving. We expect that you will be told the law requires to grant this parking lot because to do otherwise would violate laws regulating religious freedom. If city attorneys look closely at this law, though, they will discover that denial of the parking lot will not violate federal laws. You may also hear from the school that the school has held many meetings with the neighbors and accommodated our concerns. We have had many meetings, but while a few of the neighbors' recommendations were adopted, the school refused to make the changes that are most important to us. On several occasions, the architects leading this process have stated in written documents that we agreed to points which we consistently had not agreed to. Today, we have with us our responses to those communications clearly stating that no such agreements were made. Council should be in possession of 7 exhibits that document this testimony. We suspect that these peculiar erroneous communications were planned to create documentation that makes us look as if we had not been consistent in our position regarding these lots. As you might expect, this has contributed to our feeling that Central Catholic was not negotiating in good faith. The neighborhood is united in opposing the parking lot, and though many neighbors were unable to take off work to attend this hearing, I have with me a petition signed by many of them stating their opposition to the lots. May I submit this?
Sure. Just if you would give it to Carla, the council clerk.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Who would like to go next?
I will go next. My name is Charlie Christensen. I live at 2221 Southeast Oak Street. I've lived there since 1983, so that's been quite a while. I wanted to mention that there were 50 signatures on that petition of people that wished they could be here but could not. Central Catholic recently received a conditional use permit contingent on the outcome of this hearing to build a parking lot in our neighborhood. The neighbors, Buckman Community Association, Southeast Uplift, and the City of Portland have been against this expansion into the neighborhood since 1984. The neighbors have been against the parking lot for a number of reasons. First of all, we feel having a parking lot in our midst will lower the livability of our neighborhood. Secondly, we feel it will be a magnet for game participants and visitors to come into the neighborhood to park even when the lot is full, because of course they won't know the lot is full until they get there. Third, I don't care how much landscaping is done, it is still a parking lot. Fourth, the noise and lights associated with a parking lot will decrease the livability of our neighborhood, and lastly, property values. I don't care what the school and the architects say, I don't care how much landscaping, no one wants to live next door or even near a parking lot. The Buckman Neighborhood Plan was written and adopted by the city in 1991. the school's construction of a parking lot on residentially zoned property flies in the face of the Buckman plan. The plan specifically states in Policy 2, Housing, Objective 2.8, discourage demolition of residentially zoned housing for purposes of providing surface parking. The BDS staff report comments on this as follows, and I quote, Central Catholic High School is proposing the development of a new 15-space surface parking lot on two residentially zoned lots that are currently outside the school's conditional use boundaries, end of quote. The staff report is in direct opposition to the Buckman Neighborhood Plan and also represents an expansion of Central Catholic's traditional boundary. While the demolition of these houses was 27 years ago, the passage of time doesn't change the facts of the case. Housing stock was removed in order to build a surface parking lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Good afternoon. My name is Anish Gadrajal, and I live at 2222 Southeast Oak Street, and I have lived there for over 18 years. The City of Portland has not supported the building of a surface parking lot on these residential lots either. In an August 1st, 1984 article in the Oregonian on page 66 headlined, City Delays Parking Plan Action. The hearings officer for the Planning Bureau, Paul Knorr, requested a four-month delay for the hearing of a plan to develop the lots on 24th Avenue between Oak and Stark Streets, in part to encourage Edwards, the principal of Central Catholic, to discuss the master plan with the BCA and consider area residents' ideas. The article also states, quote, the Buckman Community Association and the Land Use Committee of the Southeast Uplift Neighborhood Association, The Buckman Community Association and the Land Use Committee of the Southeast Uplift Neighborhood Program submitted written opposition to the parking lot request because of concerns about the loss of housing. In the same article, hearings officer Knorr also said, referring to the removal of the housing, quote, I always feel it's a bit presumptuous of an applicant to begin work before an approval is granted, close quote. Central Catholic's conditional use application from 1985, hearings officer George Flerlage, in referring to the residential lot, stated, quote, such an expansion could result in incremental expansion over time, which may have major ramifications for the character of the neighborhood, end quote. He went on to say that the issue of precedent is of concern. The most tragic part of the issue of a parking lot on residentially zoned lots is that it is not needed. Central Catholic's own engineering firm, Lancaster Engineering, has said on page 18 of their traffic analysis report for the school's master plan application that even at the most highly attended functions, such as a rivalry basketball game like with one Jesuit high school, only 83% of the spaces are used. This includes all participants, fans, students, guests, and residents. Chris Lynn of Bora Architect testified in the master plan hearing, and I'm quoting from the hearing officer's report, at full occupancy of available parking space around the school, there exists a 20% surplus of available parking space in the immediate area. Either Lancaster is right or they are wrong, because you can't have it both ways. If they are correct, then a parking lot is not needed. If they are wrong, then let's go back to square one and go through the process.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Hello, my name is Laurie Walters. I live at 2203 Southeast Oak, and I've lived in the neighborhood for 12 years. If, despite all our objections, you feel the parking lot has to be built, there are ways to mitigate the impact on the livability of our neighborhood. The neighborhood has taken the brunt of the school's solutions for parking for 27 years, and creating a special lot in the neighborhood is a continuation of that policy. However, one of the ways to mitigate the impact on the immediate neighbors is to not allow an ingress or egress point on Oak Street. The lot would be a magnet that would bring people to Oak Street who may have parked somewhere else. Human nature is such that people want to park as close to an entrance as possible. So the parking lot will draw more people than ever to Oak Street and 24th Avenue, looking for that last empty spot in the lot. And when it is full, they will cruise down Oak Street looking for the next most convenient spot. Alternately, dead-ending oak at the parking lot with a planting strip or pilings would control the increased traffic problem, much like the streets near the Broadway Fred Meyer. The streets were dead-ended to protect the neighbors of Sullivan's Gulch from the increased traffic of having a Fred Meyer in their midst. Dead-ending Oak Street at the parking lot or not allowing an entrance or exit on Oak Street would somewhat mitigate the adverse effects of the traffic associated with the parking lot. The school will try to convince you that they are doing our bidding by building this parking lot. Nothing could be further from the truth. The BCA has been against this lot for at least 24 years. Also, the Bureau of Development Services has been against this parking lot for 24 years as well. And the neighbors have been against using R5 lots for parking since the first time it was proposed in 1984. We have never asked for a parking lot in our neighborhood and are adamantly opposed to its construction. An underground lot on their campus or use of an existing site like the vacant Wells Fargo lot on 26th and Burnside, or the lot on the old Washington High School property just down Stark Street would be an alternative the neighbors would accept. The school has refused to honestly examine alternative sites that already exist. They continue to put their convenience over the neighbors' livability. For all of these reasons, the BCA, the Southeast Uplift, the neighborhood, and traditionally the city are against this surface parking lot being built in residentially zoned lots in our neighborhood. We ask for your support in protecting the character of our neighborhood.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Really appreciate it. The next four
are Chris Soden, Sandy Sampson, Carmen Brannon, and Olivia Siphon Walters. And they'll be followed by Larry Brannon, Jenny Stenseth, and Patricia Sweeney.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. Who would like to begin?
I'm Chris Soden. I'm first on the list. I'll go ahead and start if I may.
Please.
I'm a co-chair of the Buckman Community Association along with Susan Lindsay. Susan did file a letter with you today, and it repeats quite a bit of what you've heard everybody testify already. So I think rather than just reading her letter, I'll just kind of add my own perspective of this, which hopefully is gives a bit of an intro, because I've only been a co-chair for just a few months now. And I've actually only been going to the association meetings for about a year. So this is, I'm really green in this scenario. As an example of that, the neighborhood has been opposed to this parking lot since I was 9 years old. So that's a bit of a time, and I don't have wasn't really involved in the policy on it at that time.
Slacker.
I've read the land use approval, and I've read over Central Catholic's plans and stuff, and I think that they're acting in a lot of good faith. And I think from their original plans, they've actually made a lot of concessions to get to the point that they are now. Good on them for that. And I've seen a lot of emotion with the neighbors, and some of the statements I've heard, I think there's maybe more emotion than logic behind it. But I think both people are coming from a good, both sides are coming from a good place. You're going to hear our appeal, and you're going to hear more evidence towards it. I just want to say that, I respect both sides, but I am definitely in agreement with the neighbors that we do oppose the parking lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thanks. My name's Sandy Sampson, and I've lived at 2238 Southeast Oak Street for over 17 years. We submit that the decision as it stands is flawed, specifically because of a lack of clarity. Similar to the land use approval in 2002, it states conditions and says that the city is responsible for enforcement but not monitoring compliance. Yet there's no clear instruction on how citizens can report noncompliance or indeed who to report it to. Also similar to 2002, neighbors asked again this time for a meaningful process for reporting and enforcing noncompliance with the conditions cited in the decision. During Central Catholic's comp application hearing, there were several complaints by neighbors of noncompliance by the school. The lawyer and the hearings officer rightly stated that there was only one documented case of a complaint they could find in the record. That was a complaint lodged by Chris Marsden concerning noise emitted by the HVAC system on the roof of the school in 2003. The school responded and spent several thousand dollars to try to remedy the noise, and while it's now mostly within the city's noise limits, it's still audible from 22nd Street, two blocks from the school. It's only because there is a city department that handles noise abatement issues that this issue was able to be logged, documented, and addressed. I know other people who have notified the city of violations. Linda Gerber called twice to complain of people parking on the vacant lots, in violation of the traffic management plan. BDS told her it was private property and there was nothing they could do about it. BDS was unable to provide a proper number to call that would accept a complaint of that nature. I myself called both the school and the city to inquire about newly installed curb cut approaches leading into the residential lots on 24th. City code states that abandoned driveways within the city, should be re-poured to sidewalk specifications. I was only able to leave messages and wasn't given any other number I could call to pursue my inquiries. Most calls have been to the school itself. Central Catholic is required to keep a log of these complaints and have them available for the BCA's inspection with notice. When this complaint logging by the school was first mandated, the school would report to the BCA meetings. After a time, the BCA requested that they no longer make reports at the meetings, but they did continue to log the complaints. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, my name is Carmen Brannon. I live at 317 Southeast 24th, directly across from Central Catholic. I've lived there 6.5 years. Recently, Susan Lindsay from BCA contacted the school to request the complaint logs and was told there were no comprehensive logs, but there were some recent ones that we were welcome to. Aaron Holmberg was helpful and offered to copy everything they had for the neighbors. It doesn't take long for neighbors to quit trying to lodge issues of noncompliance when there is no meaningful mechanism for lodging them, nor any follow-up. In the hearing, many neighbors had asked for a mechanism to lodge instances of noncompliance of the good neighbor agreements. On page 25 of the decision of the hearings officer, Ken Helm says, quote, "There was abundant testimony that since 2002, the school has allowed CYO events to creep back up to pre-2002 agreement levels." While the testimony was largely anecdotal, the hearings officer has no reason to doubt its credibility. And the applicant appeared to concede that some event creep may have occurred since 2002. However, the hearings officer notes that the record does not contain any evidence that the city received any code enforcement complaints about events since 2002, end quote. On page 29 of the decision, Mr. Helms says, quote, "First, there is abundant testimony in the record alleging that Central Catholic High School has not honored its commitment to the two prior GNAs, both of which were rolled into the 2002 approval. Second, the neighbors have asked for a mechanism by which they can better enforce those conditions, as they claim that the current mechanism does not work. It is very difficult for the hearings officer to respond to the neighbor's charge that the school has not honored the GNAs. The testimony on this subject is entirely anecdotal. While the hearings officer does not doubt the veracity of those testifying, it is nearly impossible to quantify in a meaningful way the type and frequency of the alleged failures. One of the fundamental problems related to the above issues is that there is no record of code enforcement action related to the school." End quote. And lastly, from the hearings officer, also on page 29, quote, "Failure to comply with condition, if established through the proper enforcement procedures, is a code violation, and the city has authority to remedy the violation," end quote. We are asking for a method to document code violations. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Olivia C.T.L. Walters at 2203 Southeast Oak Street. I've lived in that home for 12 years and also on Oak Street in a different place for three other years. Let me cite a few examples of alleged violations noted by the neighbors. The 2002 agreement stated that Central Catholic would provide Multnomah County sheriffs to patrol during large gatherings of 250 or more people. By 2005, they had stopped providing security because they said it was too expensive and didn't help the parking situation. The neighbors felt the sheriffs did help, but we really had no recourse, so the security was gone. Also in 2002, the school agreed to stop having CYO football games on the weekends. Those games clogged the streets around the gym entrance on 24th and on Oak and Pine Streets all weekend long. The school has been having CYO football games on weekends for several years now. In their 2011 application, they are willing to cut the number of games in half from 12 to 6. My question is, what happened to the 2002 promise not to have any CYO games? In 2002, there was to be a dedicated phone line for parking issues. That's gone. Charlie Christensen called the number this fall to report parking problems and found the number had been disconnected. Now neighbors must call a non-dedicated number in the main office. This change was made without warning or consultation with the neighbors. In 2002, there was a promise to not renew some other events that drew cars to park in the neighborhood. In 2011, they are asking to reinstate at least one of those, an AA meeting that had gotten quite large over the years. So even when they agree to cut back on activities, over time, by their own admission, the activities creep back in. For all these reasons, we need a mechanism for reporting instances of noncompliance. At the hearing, the school's lawyer stated that the hearing was not the venue to discuss code violations. I do not understand why violations of past conditions, because they are code violations, should have no bearing on the decision to grant additional approvals to the school, approvals based on the same and additional conditions. However, I now understand that any violations are functionally invisible to the city unless they are code violations. Without a clearly articulated reporting and enforcement protocol in place, most of the conditions in this decision are meaningless. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Question? So, I keep hearing about we need an effective reporting mechanism. So what to you is that ideal mechanism? You refer to protocols. And, is mechanism a code word for something that we're not getting up here?
We aren't wonks. You know what I mean? So we don't know exactly.
We've all had plenty of experience on this.
Right word. But basically, I think what we're looking for is something clear embedded within the approval that we know, okay, if these conditions are not being met, this is the number we call where it will be officially recorded by the city, and whatever enforcement or remedies need to happen that the city is responsible for will be put in motion. Does that make sense?
And why did you stop asking for Central Catholic to report violations at your neighborhood meetings? You mentioned that in your testimony.
We are members, but we're not the board. We're not the board. I think it was because it just took too much time for, to go through the list of all the complaints. So I can't speak for the board.
Thanks.
Thank you all very much. The next four.
Art Larry Brannon, Jenny Stenseth, Patricia Sweeney, and Christine Yun. And the last person who signed up is Timothy Askin. He'll be next.
Hi, my name's Larry Brannon. I live at 317 Southeast 24th Avenue, directly across from Central Catholic High School. Some of the conditions in the current decision, such as providing message boards and staff to direct incoming traffic to appropriate parking during large events, closing or making exit only certain doors on weekends and during the summer, or ending evening events by 10 p.m., are meant as mitigations of impact on livability for residents. But who would we call to have noncompliance for these types of conditions documented or enforcement engaged? What is the appropriate city number to call to report gym doors being entered on a Sunday or the absence of message boards on the evening of an event? It seems onerous enough, we as neighbors of the school